Hi, today's June 9th, 2018. This is Comics Used Podcast 99. I'm Todd Ogasawara, my good friend Jay Stone, and tonight we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War, the most recent Avengers movie. I think it's been out long enough that spoilers are okay. What do you think, Jay?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So first thing, like we always do, is review where it stood in Rotten Tomatoes. So it got 83% from critics, which is pretty good, and a higher 91% from the audience. Where do you fall in that range, Jay? You towards the critics or towards the audience rating? Or
neither? I'm much lower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, wow, interesting.
I didn't like it that much.
Okay, now before we get started, did you read the Infinity Gauntlet comic books miniseries first?
No, I didn't read any of that stuff, but okay. I knew I was a big Eternals fan.
Okay.
So I knew about Thanos from before.
Okay.
And I was a big Adam Warlock fan.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons why I didn't like it.
Okay, so I didn't read the miniseries prior to the movie either. I did read it after the movie, by the way. So I have some thoughts about it from that point of view. Okay, so what didn't you like about it? Let's get started right away with that then. And spoilers, okay.
I did not like the characterization of Thanos.
Really?
No, I didn't. I didn't like the fact that he wanted to kill 50% of the population of the universe because of Malthusian economics, basically. Of overpopulation and limited resources. I thought that was lame. That's just lame.
Well,
honestly.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it.
That is pretty close to the comic book, though, Infinity Gauntlet, where Death believed that the universe is essentially overpopulated. They didn't go into the whole economics and resources and all that, but that was kind of like basically a throwaway line somewhere in the early part of the comic book, I guess.
Yes, but Thanos, see, I never read the part about the Infinity Gauntlet. I never read the Infinity Gauntlet series or anything. I read it before that time, right?
Infinity Quest?
But Thanos was a character before this whole Infinity.
Oh, yeah, thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember Thanos being in love with death.
Right.
And worshipping death.
Right.
And wanting to kill the half of the universe as a gift to death.
Right.
So I actually find that much more interesting for the character of Thanos than for him to think that he's doing it for the good of everyone by killing half the people.
Although in the comic books, the whole thing about death was he believed death wanted half the universe gone.
Yes, but he loved her.
Yeah.
He loved the entity. He loved the entity. So he's doing it out of love.
For the entity. Yeah.
For the entity, yes.
Right, which doesn't appear at all in the movie.
No, I would have really loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
I knew they wouldn't do it, but I was trying to figure out, well, how are they going to make his motivation and everything? I didn't like his relationship with Gamora, you know, how they brought her, you know, when she was a little kid and how they made him a little bit more sympathetic and how he feels betrayed by her. And I didn't care for that at all. I thought that just wasn't believable because he's ruthless. He's pure embodiment of evil and he shouldn't have any redeeming qualities at all in my mind. That's the biggest, to be honest, that's the biggest problem I had with the film. The characterization of Thanos. I did not care for this version of Thanos. I wanted Thanos to be like Darkseid. I wanted him to be just pure, absolute evil. And it would have been nice if Death had shown up at some point.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't have that much of a problem with it. And I've been following Thanos since, boy, I'm trying to remember where he first showed up. And was it in Adam Warlock in the 70s? I can't remember.
He showed up at a war, or did he show up in Eternals?
Yeah.
Or
So I've been following him since the beginning, I think. And I think that he definitely, by the time I stopped reading comics regularly, and by that I mean, you know, I stopped picking him up at the comic book store, he had not evolved to a nuanced character, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But after reading Infinity Gauntlet, and I didn't read Infinity Quest, by the way. But reading Infinity Gauntlet, he is much more nuanced in... Well, is he much more... Yeah, he is much more nuanced in Infinity Gauntlet than he was in earlier versions of him. And I should note that the movie, now that I've read Infinity Gauntlet, the movie is really a combination of Infinity Quest, which is a quest for the various gems, and Infinity Gauntlet, which is the end of The movie is the beginning of Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes. Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah.
The end of the film is actually the beginning of Infinity Gauntlet.
Right. So I was kind of surprised, having not read Infinity Quest. So when I got to Infinity Gauntlet, it was on sale or something one weekend because of the movie. And then I read it after I saw the movie. And I was like, whoa, he disappeared everybody right in like the first 15 pages or so, you know?
Yeah.
And that was kind of a big shock to me.
Yeah.
So for me, the problem wasn't that, I think. The nuanced Thanos, which I found... It was, as I said, in Infinity Gauntlet, he is much more nuanced in Infinity Gauntlet than I ever remember him being. But I thought some of the things, like the use of the Hulk in place of the Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah. That was awful. That was so awful.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, since they don't have the rights to Silver Surfer, I guess. Yeah, okay, I get it. But the fact that they couldn't turn him back into the Hulk?
Yeah, because he's embarrassed. He's got beaten by Thanos.
Yeah, that made no sense at all to me.
That just was ridiculous. The Hulk is not afraid.
Exactly.
That's just ridiculous.
Right.
Even if he gets beaten, he's not afraid. He's Hulk.
Never. Yeah.
No, he never is.
Then the matter he gets, the stronger he gets, right? I mean, that's just what the Hulk is supposed to be like.
Yeah. You know, my daughter said, I think this kind of tells you, you know, how, I don't know how good or bad the movie was. Because I saw it with my daughter and her boyfriend came along. The best parts of the movie are when Guardians of the Galaxy were on. She enjoyed that the most. She didn't care for the scenes with just the Avengers.
Yeah.
Except when they were in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, we had just seen, we saw Black Panther a few months ago, and that was a really, really good film. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was really well done, you know. And I think the Iron Man, she's not really into Iron Man, you know, and the other Avengers characters so much as she appreciates Galaxy of the Guardians a lot more,
right?
As well as Black Panther. Those when Black Panther came on, she was like, "Oh yeah," she really enjoyed that part.
Now, while I agree with her partly, I think the way Star-Lord's part ended up, was first, that's not an Infinity Gauntlet at all, so it's unnecessary from that point of view.
Yes.
And I think it was just unnecessarily from any point of view. That just didn't make any sense.
When he all freaks out, right?
Yeah.
And he ruins the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was so contrived.
Right?
And it's not really contrived.
And it's not necessary for the plot, because like I just mentioned, it was never used in the comic books.
Yeah.
So why need it? Why does the movie need it?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess... I don't know. I talked to someone last week.
Yeah.
Last week or this week? Well, maybe it was last week about it.
Yeah.
And so, well, did you see it? I said, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
So, what'd you think? Oh, I didn't care for it too much. I mean, I liked it, and I think I paid too much money for it because I paid record price. I would have. It's a good matinee. For me, it's like a matinee movie price. Yeah. It's a very good matinee movie price. But full price at night? Not really.
Yeah.
I was telling him, you know, it's just. It was too contrived.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, the other films that they've done that are really good, you know, Marvel movies.
Yeah.
It doesn't pander. They don't pander to the audience. Or not the right word. They don't dumb it down for the audience.
Yeah.
Right? It's just very well done. Right? And when you put in that kind of scene where he, you know, he ruins everything because he's all upset. Right? I'm like, nah, that's just.
Yeah. It made no sense. It was just. It was maddening is what it was.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then when you have people like, I don't want to offend Black Widow fans, but you have people like Black Widow who show up in these movies, right?
Yeah.
And she's going against these super powerful aliens and she's surviving with a very little, but not getting hurt very much.
Well, same with Captain America, right?
True, but he is at least enhanced.
He is enhanced.
She is not.
Yeah.
And at least, Winter Soldier, he's got a metal arm. He's got a cybernetic arm.
Yeah.
So, right.
And he's also enhanced.
Yeah, and he's enhanced. So it's and at least the Wakandans, right? The different tribes, they have enhanced technology.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, there were things like that didn't make a lot of sense. And then the whole fact how they depowered Vision.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Why would they do such a thing? Except for the fact that they couldn't have anyone as powerful, super powerful, that could just end the plot so fast. That part I didn't care
for. In the comic books, let me think of things that disappointed me. So, as I mentioned, I understood why they couldn't use a Silver Surfer. They just don't have the rights to him, to the character.
Yeah, yeah.
So, substituted Hulk. Okay, fine. But Warlock, Adam Warlock, we saw the cocoon teased in earlier movies.
Yeah.
Right? So he's there, but he was not used in the movie.
And they're gold like he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name of the people, right? But they have gold skin. So, okay. Yeah. It's not really his origin from the comics, but okay. Yeah. So he's going to be gold and he's going to be something different. Yeah. Why not bring in Adam Warlock?
And especially in the Infinity Gauntlet, he's the key.
He is the key.
You know?
And he's such a great character.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good character.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was super disappointed because I've been waiting for I don't know how many years, ever since they showed the cocoon in the collector's ship, I think.
Yeah. Right?
Ever since that moment, I said, oh, they're going to use Adam Warlock. And then when they announced Infinity War, I said, yes, they're going to use Adam Warlock. And then we saw Infinity Wars. No, there's no
Adam Warlock. There's no Adam Warlock. There's no Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no death.
Yeah.
As the entity, right? There's no Celestials. There's no Galactus.
Yeah. Well, right? Galactus, again, I could understand because...
Yeah, I know. But there's no Celestials.
But you know the funny thing?
Eternity.
I was disappointed they didn't use a Watcher because they have had a Watcher in the movies.
Yes.
So he's in the Marvel, movie continuity now.
Right. No Uatu. Where's Uatu?
Yeah.
Right? That's his name, right? Uatu?
Uatu, right? Correct.
Yeah, Uatu. Yeah. They had a lot of characters they had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know? But I think they could have made it more interesting by adding in, and not because like I'm a fanboy or something.
Yeah.
But
you are.
I mean, but I am. But I mean, can you imagine a Watcher?
Yes.
Just hanging out with that big ass head. That super huge head and the ridiculously tiny body in proportion to the head.
But it would have been awesome, and the Captain America said, come on, you got to do something. Nope. I like to just watch.
That would have been interesting.
As you know, Stan Lee has been revealed as a Watcher, right?
Exactly.
He could have appeared as Uatu,
maybe. As Uatu. I mean...
In disguise or whatever.
And the fact that Captain didn't get his shield back.
Yeah, well, he got the little tiny thing.
I know, but the fact that they didn't give him his shield back?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just... And the fact that he didn't die, but Bucky died?
Yeah. They had to get the original Avengers back together, right? Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk.
Yeah, they
Black
do.
Widow. Only person missing is Hawkeye.
Yeah, but they've never done a very good Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jeremy Renner. Renner, right? I like him as an actor, but I think they've really misused Hawkeye in all the films.
Yeah, it's true.
They really have. I mean, they did a really good job with Black Widow for a while until she became like Hulk's muse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they really misused Hawkeye. You know, it's like Emil would say sometimes, just follow the comics.
Yeah. How hard
Why you gotta change the comics?
Yeah.
Just go back to the original material. It's pretty. It's better than what you're turning out. Why
do you have
to change it so much?
I agree. I mean, and like I said, I understand changing characters out because they don't have licensing rights. That's okay. But introducing things like that Star-Lord thing, I was like, I don't think so.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? That's so contrived, you know? But even I was like, I'm watching the film and I'm like, okay, here's... Tony Stark doing his little quips and everything.
Right.
In every movie. I'm getting tired of it already. You know, I'm even, seeing Iron Spider.
Yeah.
Right. Spider-Man. I thought, okay, that was pretty cool. And then after a while, I went, Peter Parker's starting to sound a little lame to me now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was really good in the last couple movies. And now it's like, but when you, but when I saw Guardians come on, I got very excited. I don't know. There's something about how they do Guardians that always seems fresh to me.
Yeah, I think partly because the characters are not as familiar, maybe, so we don't have the expectations and assumptions about, what they could do.
Or maybe they're just really wacko characters that are just...
Yeah.
I mean, Talking Raccoon, Daughter of Thanos.
Yeah, or as Thor refers to him as Rabbit.
Yeah. Which is pretty good.
Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I did like the fact that the dwarves were tall.
Yeah. Like giant tall. I thought that was pretty
cool. Yeah, like giants.
Yeah.
But they're dwarves.
Yeah.
Right? I thought that was pretty cool. I like that. I didn't like the fact that Thanos killed them all.
Yeah.
But I like how they got a, I don't remember his name. He's a Lannister, though.
Oh, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, yeah, I know he's in Game of Thrones, and he was in one of the Chronicles of Narnia movies. He's a very... his name escapes me, but at this moment in time. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I probably liked. Well, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, and it was kind of uncharacteristic of Rocket not to argue with Thor about the fact that he's not a rabbit.
Yeah.
You know? But whatever reason, he just kind of went along with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of weird. And the whole angsty Groot.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
There's something, I don't know. I know we're not that familiar. Well, I know I'm not that familiar with that version of the Guardian.
I am not either.
But it almost seems like with those characters, they take more chances with them.
Yeah.
You know? Like when I first saw the first Iron Man, right? Tony Stark was, wow. You didn't really see this kind of banter on in a comic book movie and this kind of character. So that was really fresh, right? But it hasn't evolved. That was one of the problems I had with Age of Ultron.
Really?
It was, yeah, because I didn't care for their banter. It just seemed too predictable. Like, I could tell what they were going to say.
Hmm.
The dialogue was already written.
Yeah.
Right? And, well, of course it's already written, but it was like, it was expected.
Right.
The way they reacted with one another. But I feel like with the Guardians characters, it's not, I would say, unpredictable. But it's fresher to me and can be somewhat surprising. You know, when like Drax is like going, I have trained myself to move so slowly.
Yeah.
That I am invisible.
That was wild.
You can't see me. I can still see you. So they still stay within their character.
Yeah.
But they're so genuine in their character. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how else to explain it. Like to me, I feel like it's Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, not Tony Stark as Iron Man, right? I feel like he's acting. But when I hear like Drax talk like that, right? Or even Gamora, the way she talks, or Rocket, they seem like if I saw Drax on the street, he would be that kind of guy.
Right.
They seem more genuine to me.
Right.
And I think that's what like Chadwick Boseman and the Wakandan characters bring. And even to be honest to me, like, is it Chris Reynolds? I don't know his name. Chris Evans, right?
Oh, Captain America?
Yeah. The way he plays Captain America, he just seems so genuine as Captain America. He doesn't seem like the actor playing Captain America to me, right?
Yeah.
So I care for that character more. Just even like Sebastian Stan, right? He doesn't seem like Sebastian Stan playing Bucky.
Yeah.
He just seems like Bucky.
Well, you know, the thing about the way, the way Chris Evans plays Captain America, but more importantly, how the rioters write Captain America is how Superman shouldn't have been written.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
You know, they're both the big blue Boy Scouts, right?
That is correct.
And except they got it right with Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, with Superman, they just messed it up all over the place.
I know. You don't like Superman. The Superman film. Yeah. I love those films myself.
Yeah.
But I like angsty characters and I like unangsty characters.
Yeah.
But, I do agree with you. If they had made him more like
the Christopher Reeve Superman,
if they had made him more of that type, or even like Tyler Hoechlin, Supergirl,
he is awesome. That that version of Superman and Supergirl is awesome.
It is very good. Yeah. If you compare the two, right? So it's I think they could still have given the Man of Steel version of Superman, that kind of pathos, and right, that kind of you know, issues that he had, but still, but his personality would be such that he would rise above it.
Yeah.
Right? So even if they had made his life hard, he was an outcast and all this kind of stuff, he feels like an alien, right? But because he has that optimistic look of human beings and people, right, in general, right, that he would rise above that moodiness, right?
Yeah.
But they never let him rise above the moodiness.
Yeah.
Right? That's really the problem for a lot of people with the Man of Steel, Zack Snyder version of Superman. He stayed moody and dark for too long.
Yeah.
Versus overcoming it. He should have overcome it within the first film relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of hammering it home again and again and again and again. I am an alien. I am an outcast. That kind of stuff. Right? But yeah, maybe Tyler Hoechlin should become Superman. In the films. I don't know. I was surprised because I saw him in Teen Wolf and I was not a fan of that show.
Yeah.
Because my daughter likes, you know, the actors in the show. And I'm like, what is this show? Why are you, how can you watch this? This is no way I should be watching this at your age. No, this is a really good show. And I'm like, and when I heard he would cast as Superman and Supergirl, I was like, nah, this guy's going to tank. How can he pull this off? But I was really surprised. He was a very good Clark Kent and he was a very good Superman.
Yep.
You know, I haven't been watching Supergirl recently.
No, they didn't bring him back in this season.
Ah, that's too bad. They should bring him back.
Yeah. He's awesome.
It would pep up the show.
Yeah.
I think it would make it better.
Well, you know, they brought in Mon-El, right? So.
Yeah, but that's a really, really horrible version of Mon-El.
It is. It is. A whiny version.
It's so horrible.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the Avengers.
Yeah.
So the ending. So, you know, the ending is actually the ending of the comic book. That's how it ends. Except they resolve everything, you know?
Oh, in the comic book, how did they resolve
it? In Infinity Gauntlet, I guess this is super spoilers, Gamora, you know, who in the comic book is like this zombie-like creature.
Yeah.
Has just enough cognitive ability to sneakily, well, not maybe not sneakily, but unexpectedly grab the gauntlet from Thanos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she wields the gauntlet and basically wishes everything, you know, basically wills herself back to normal. And then there's a whole, you know, battle. And in the end, she wills everything to be back as it was 24 hours earlier. So everybody's restored, right? Mm-hmm. She unfortunately goes back to being a zombie because that's what she was 24 hours earlier.
Yeah.
And Adam Warlock imprisons Thanos in the Soul Gem or someplace.
Oh, okay.
And so he's exactly the ending as in Infinity War, where he's sitting kind of in this farmland kind of place.
Yeah. He becomes like a farmer.
Yeah. That's how it ends. Except now Adam Warlock has the gauntlet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, that would have been a more interesting ending.
Yeah. Of course, then they couldn't have a part two. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then it would be Adam, you know, Adam Warlock has the gauntlet and then something he does, he becomes corrupted or does something where...
I'm sorry, it wasn't Gamora. It was Nebula.
Oh, Nebula.
Nebula.
Oh, the mechanical
dog. Yeah. So she's like wait, was it Gamora? No, I got to think about which is which.
Gamora's green.
Yeah. I think it was Nebula.
Okay.
It was Nebula, yeah. To, you know, manages to get a zombie-like critter and gets the gauntlet and, you know, kind of fixes everything.
Mm.
So it actually wasn't a great ending, in my opinion, in the comic book. It was kind of almost a little too easy.
Mm.
You know, basically there was no plan. It was just Nebula happened to have enough, you know, zombie-like intelligence to do something.
Yeah, that seems kind of lame.
Yeah. You know, there's plan.
I didn't think the movie ending was very good, though.
No, but...
I thought, eh?
Yeah,
That's how you want to end it? I know it's a two-parter, but that's how you want to end it?
Yeah, but at least we know that, you know, Doctor Strange, before he got zapped into nothingness, he did tell the folks that, you know, he looked at, I don't know, 16 million possibilities, and there is only one possible way to win, right?
Yeah.
And presumably he put that into motion before he disappeared.
Yeah. So I kept on hoping that Scarlet Witch would use her powers and solve everything.
Yeah.
But they don't make her like that in the movies.
No, she's not reality. Yeah. She's not the equivalent of a reality gem.
Yeah.
Like she is in the comic books.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm bitter. I still don't like the fact how they treated Vision. Because he's one of my favorite characters. And they just... Vision should not have been able to be taken out that easily. He's Vision.
Maybe. But, you know, in the comic books, he gets taken out too. And he becomes the white Vision, right?
Yeah, but he's got a gem in his head. And he can't take out those alien creatures? I mean, come on. That was just too contrived. Yeah. That didn't make sense to me.
And wait, and which gem did he Vision have in his head? Was it a soul gem or something else?
I don't even remember.
Was it?
It would make sense. It was a soul gem because he's a android.
Yeah, because in the comics, Warlock had the soul gem, right?
Yes.
Which was then.
And are they gems or stones?
Oh yeah, stones. Well, whatever they are. Yeah.
Now they are stones. Before they were gems.
Yeah. So you know, and he was trapped inside of it. Thought to be
Warlock.
Dead. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that storyline.
So, you know, it's disappointing they didn't use that because that really makes a lot more sense.
It does make a lot more sense. It's to me, it's like the people who wrote this didn't really think about
reading the comic books. They read part of the comic books.
Yeah. Reading the comic books or even thinking about how the movie should really be written. Things didn't make sense.
Right. And the other thing, you know, having now gone through this, is mm-hmm. we know that Captain Marvel is going to play some role in Avengers 4. And mm-hmm. neither the Kree Captain Marvel nor the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel plays any role at all, I think, in Infinity Gauntlet. I would think not, right?
I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when my daughter, when we waited for the scene, right? The credit scene.
Right.
After credit scene. And so she's like, who's that? It's Captain Marvel.
Right.
Who's that? Oh, she's a woman who has powers like Superman.
Yeah.
You know? And she was like, I don't know. She wasn't that excited about it.
Oh, really?
Nah.
That was the best part of the movie to me.
Oh, the Captain Marvel thing at the end?
Yeah. When he presses the pager button or whatever that thing is.
Oh.
Which is weird in itself, right?
Yeah. But it didn't make sense to me. It just didn't make sense. You know? I don't know. Well, I wonder, though, how are they going to tie this into Ant-Man and Wasp since half the people are gone?
Well, Ant-Man and Wasp happened before the events of Infinity War.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to see a prequel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just read that the other day that Ant-Man and Wasp, even though it comes out afterwards, actually occurs before the events of Infinity War.
Okay. That will be interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer plays the original Wasp. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I think they got Michelle Pfeiffer to play the original Wasp.
Janet Van Dyne?
Yeah.
So wow.
That's going to be interesting, I think.
I think so, too. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good casting choice.
Yeah.
I think.
So I'm looking forward to that in, a couple of weeks now? I think it's coming out, like June? Oh, it is June.
Mm-hmm.
So later this mm-hmm. month? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Captain Marvel, the movie, occurs in 1990, so we'll see how that all pans out.
Captain Marvel?
The movie.
The movie?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking the Marvel, Captain Marvel version.
Yeah.
The MCU version.
Yeah.
Not Shazam.
No, not Shazam.
It occurs in the 90s?
The 1990s, yes.
Seems weird.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
So Samuel L. Jackson can be in a movie?
But that's like 20 years ago. So
yeah.
Captain Marvel's going to be really old by the time she makes it to the part two of Infinity War.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, because she's Carol Danvers. She's not really Kree.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and
see. Are they
going
to change it?
I don't know.
Are they going to change it and make her really Kree?
I don't know.
I hope not. I mean, I thought the whole point of it is that she gets fused with Kree DNA, right?
Maybe that's why she doesn't age or something.
Hmm.
But it's set in the 1990s.
Huh. I wonder why. Why they felt that made sense. But now I'm actually, I really wasn't. At first I was excited to see it, and then I was like, nah, I'm not sure I'm not really excited to see it. Now that you tell me it's in the 90s, I'm much more curious.
See here. I'll
that film.
Yeah, I'm reading the Wikipedia entry for it right now. Premise.
Yeah.
Set in the 1990s, Captain Marvel follows Carol Danvers as she turns into one of the galaxy's mightiest heroes after Earth is caught in the center of an intergalactic conflict between two alien worlds.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, but they won't. It's not going to make sense in the timeline.
We'll
find out.
There's
no Avengers. Because there's no Avengers. There's no Fantastic Four. There's no Silver Surfer. There's none of that stuff.
Oh, it also says we'll see Nick Fury without his eye patch. Because it happens before he loses his eye.
Got both eyes.
Yeah. And it says the Captain Carol Danvers is the first superhero that he comes across.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really changing things up.
Yeah. Because remember, this is before Captain America and Thor and everybody. Oh, get this. Whoa. I'm still reading. Wait, is this true? Yeah. It says Clark Gregg is going to be in it as Phil Coulson.
Oh, that's how they bring him.
Yeah.
But he's going to be super young.
Well, that's going to be a challenge, isn't it? Because he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
He's an older actor.
Yeah. Oh, and Jude Law is going to play Captain Mar-Vell, you know, the Kree.
Jude Law?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wrong.
Will be Mar-Vell, Walter Lawson, Danvers' mentor, who trains.
I think that's miscast. That doesn't seem right to me. Mar-Vell? Mar-Vell should be like Brad Pitt or someone like that.
We'll see.
Jude Law? He's too lanky.
Jude Law.
He's a good actor, but I just can't see him as Mar-Vell.
I don't know.
What they should do, they should have Ronan the Accuser.
They do. Lee Pace
they're going to bring him back? Oh, awesome.
Lee Pace is Ronan the Accuser.
See, that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, because he's Kree. He lives forever. Yeah. Well, not forever, but he lives a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Should be interesting. We'll see how it ties into... Don't know. We'll have to wait a year.
Okay.
So when's the release date? The release date is... I mean, projected release date is March 8th, 2019. It's a little less than a year. 10 months.
Okay. I'll definitely go see that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But at first I was very curious that it was the 90s. Now I'm more... I just hope they don't mess it up.
Alrighty then. So that's Comics News Podcast number 99. Mm-hmm. Good to have Jay back in town. He's been traveling a lot, I know.
Yes.
And we will talk to you next time.